Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, and I'm ready to massage the gray matter. Captain America's sidekick here, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signaled the enemies on the march, an enemy who would steal from us our liberty. A faithful member of the American resistance against the communist occupation of the White House and Capitol. Now, I'm operating under a symbol similar to what de Gaulle used in France. Back in WW2, mine is the symbol of the cross, but it includes the placard above the cross beam where Pilate wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. A few shows back, I said we would be offering a series on biblical economics on the Sunday show. I do intend to do that. In fact, this is something of a segue into that. However, I'm telling you, it is very difficult to keep up with all that is going on. And right now, I feel the need to alert all my listeners to the communist occupation, the communist coup of our government that is taking place right before our eyeballs. I spoke to it in the last show, and there are about two or three items of particular interest to us I did not have time to get into. First, my thesis is that what we are seeing in the White House and Capitol of late is an attempted fulfillment of Nikita Khrushchev's prophecy that communism would conquer America without firing a shot, and that they would accomplish this by following Khrushchev's plan, which he articulated in 1962 when he said, quote, we can't expect the American people to jump from capitalism to communism, but we can assist their leaders by giving them small amounts of socialism until they awaken one day to find out they have communism. Nikki, you and Rockefeller had such plans. Well, it was your economy that went bust first, so there. You know, I've visited Russia many times. There are some high-ranking military officers who suspected way back that the commies actually folded their hand, you know, as in you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Some of the officers said they suspected the Communist Party leaders saw the handwriting on the wall a while back and decided to fold and turn their full attention to promoting socialism in America from the inside as a way to move our nation to financial collapse, to create the crisis Marx said was necessary to generate the momentum needed for revolution. Yeah, really, Marx put it this way, quote, a new revolution is possible only in consequence of a new crisis, end quote. Of course, many of you remember Immanuel Rahm saying, quote, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste, end quote, or something to that effect. Actually, here's the actual quote. Quote, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before, end quote. All right, let's listen to some of the quotes from Obama and some of those he has surrounded himself with that prove beyond any reasonable doubt that the man is a communist, really. Quote, the Supreme Court never ventured into the issues of redistribution of wealth, keywords, redistribution of wealth, and more basic issues such as political and economic justice in society, more hot-button words in the Marxist lexicon. And one of the tragedies of the civil rights movement was because the civil rights movement became so court-focused, I think there was a tendency to lose track of the political and community organizing and activities on the ground that are able to put together the actual coalition of powers through which you bring about redistributive change, end quote, redistribution. You get this? And this was in an interview in 2001 on WBEZ FM radio in Chicago while he was senator in Illinois. And don't forget the infamous quote from his exchange with Joe the Plumber, quote, I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody, end quote. Interesting. Now, folks, this is Marxism, plain and simple. That's what it is. During the campaign, Biden said, quote, we want to take money and put it back in the pocket of middle-class people, end quote. Of course, that's a lie. They just want to take money and give it to whomever they like, especially their union buddies. But anyway, Obama's background is a dead giveaway. It should have been a dead giveaway to anybody as to what to expect from his presidency. In his book, Dreams from My Father, he wrote, quote, "To avoid being mistaken for a sellout, I chose my friends carefully. The more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors, and the structural feminists." Did you catch the Marxist professors? Hillary Clinton said, quote, "We're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good," end quote. And they're a pack of communists. Jim Moran, Democrat congressman from Virginia, in a video posted on YouTube on October 31, said, quote, "The American worker has produced more per person at any time, but it hasn't been shared, and that's the problem because we have been guided by a Republican administration who believes in this simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it, and they have an antipathy towards the means of redistributing wealth," end quote. They're a pack of Marxist communists. Look at his cabinet. Carol Browner, climate czar, when the Obama White House was asked about her affiliation with a socialist group that calls for, quote, "global governance," end quote, the White House responded by saying, well, that's not a problem. Well, of course not. In fact, just like he sought out Marxist professors in college to identify with, well, he has surrounded himself with Marxists in his cabinet. You remember the brouhaha over Van Jones, the green jobs czar. This one generated so much heat, he finally had to let Jones go. This was Obama's pick for green jobs czar. Now, we know from Obama's own book that Obama is very careful about how he chooses his friends, remember? Well, I believe he's been very careful about choosing his czars. Van Jones was his pick for green jobs czar, and he knew full well what Van Jones was all about. Big deal, you say? Well, it just so happens that Van Jones was arrested in 1999 for his participation in the World Trade Organization riots in Seattle. And he has made open and public statements about his communist sympathies that finally, well, it just proved overwhelming even for Obama supporters to handle, and he had to finally give up and let him go. You know, you're foolish indeed if you think Van Jones does not represent Obama's heart and soul. Well, I know my listeners don't need to be convinced that Obama's a Marxist communist. Maybe you can use this information, however, to help some of your more liberally inclined friends to see it. But the bottom line is that the communists are beginning to assert themselves in our society openly. They are feeling pretty confident that they can push America into a quiet revolution. You know, the one Khrushchev envisioned. You know, the one he said that he would achieve by helping our leaders develop little bits of socialism in our culture until one day we wake up and realize we've got communism. Helping our leaders, he said. That's interesting. You know, our media has been sleeping in the bed of Karl Marx for quite some time now, but the fact is, we've had political and economic leaders in this country who have been working in concert with the Khrushchev plan for, well, many years. You probably did not know that during Reagan's presidency, Ted Kennedy was in communication with the Kremlin discussing ways they could work together to undermine our president. Oh, yeah. That's documented, my friends. In any other day, such a thing would be called treason. The Rockefellers have been chummy with communists for a very long time. I think you might have noticed that. But, you know, Obama presents a special concern. Not only is he a Marxist, he's also a Muslim Marxist. I mean, this guy, really, he sympathizes with every anti-American group in the world, it seems. Obama presents special challenges to the future of our country. Glenn Beck, on January 7, pointed out that Obama signed an executive order, quote, designating Interpol as a public international organization entitled to enjoy certain privileges, exemptions, and immunities, end quote. Anyway, actually, Interpol has had this status for quite a while. In 1983, Reagan recognized them as an international agency, and well before this. But however, this executive order that Obama has signed has been very curiously amended from the one that Reagan signed. I understand that the way the order reads now, Interpol is exempt from any freedom of information requests. That's interesting for the most open and transparent presidency in the history of America. By the way, you might not know what Interpol is, so let me give you a little background on this. It's an acronym for International Police, kind of an abbreviated acronym. The full name of the organization is the International Criminal Police Organization. Was started back in 1923 and was then called the International Criminal Police Commission. It came to be called Interpol in the early 50s. Anyway, something like 183 countries are now signed on to it, including the United States and Yemen. Its headquarters is in Lyons, France. President Reagan recognized Interpol as an international organization in 1983, which did extend to it certain privileges and immunities commonly extended to, well, like ambassadors, things like that. However, two sets of immunities and privileges were expressly withheld from Interpol. And these, in Reagan's executive order, included the immunity from search and seizure of property held by the organization in our country and the shielding of their archives from legal discovery. In other words, under Reagan's executive order, we could exercise our Freedom of Information Act rights to access their records when those records were generated here or archived on American soil. What Obama has done is he has deleted those exceptions in Reagan's executive order. He has broadened the rights and privileges of Interpol's operations here, and we are asking why. What it means is that Interpol activities are shielded now from America's laws. It means that while our own CIA cannot keep information from the public without having to pass that information through a rigorous examination of scrutiny for any national security issues, Interpol can keep any information it possesses from the public for any reason whatever. Actually, they don't have to give any reason. Now, this means if Obama wants to hide something from the American people, all he has to do is put it into the hands of our Interpol office here in New York. Now, this gets kind of technical, but I think you can see what this means. If Obama wants to run covert domestic operations subversive to the interests of this country or supportive of his private or personal interests, he can do it without public scrutiny. It gives him the equivalent of a secret police. So Obama's executive order gives Interpol a special immunity that is not afforded to our own CIA or FBI. Interpol's records, for example, are, quote, beyond U.S. Citizens' Freedom of Information Act, end quote. Threats Watch, an organization that attempts to assemble information regarding national security threats and make it public, presented in a way that the public could appreciate and understand. By the way, you can find this on their website, http://threatswatch.org. Anyway, this organization has established itself as a very reliable resource for this kind of information. And in an article published on their website titled Wither Sovereignty, they discuss the signing of this executive order, and they express concern that it is a first step towards signing America onto the Rome Statute. Now, some of you might not be familiar with that, but the Rome Statute is a UN treaty that established something called the International Criminal Court, or ICC. You know, the one that Reagan and Bush were careful to make clear we would have nothing to do with it, because it would subjugate American citizens and soldiers to a so-called international court, compromising our national sovereignty, subordinating it to foreign powers. So, therefore, that if this ICC decided to prosecute American soldiers for their participation in an unpopular war, well, then Americans would be obligated, or America would be obligated, to surrender these citizens and soldiers to the custody of foreign powers for prosecution in their so-called international court. Well, Reagan and Bush said, no way. Anyway, the point here is that we have a Marxist in the Oval Office who is already compromising America's sovereignty and has already sent out a subtle hint that he's willing to subordinate America to the ICC. All of this part of his plan to pull us into the global world government, you know, the one we've been warned against by God's prophets. Well, folks, I'm going to take a short break and I'll be right back.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So, if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the Lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
To say the Brain Massage Show is thought-provoking is like saying the hydrogen bomb makes a lot of noise. Both true and both way understated. Stay tuned. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, your brain masseur extraordinaire. Captain America's sidekick, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Hello, folks. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, ready to complete your brain massage for today. Well, let's see here. All right. Obama has made it clear he has no intention of encouraging the House to post the health care bill 72 hours before it is voted on. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Pants on fire. Didn't some fellow recently do that in an attempt to explode an airplane in flight to America? Pants on fire, blowing up America. In fact, the Prez has been doing some arm twisting, attempting to pressure the leaders in Congress to, quote, take the fast track approach to skip the conference committee, end quote. The man's a liar. That's nothing new. We know that. So let's see. Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. Glenn Beck has become a birther basher. I like Beck, but I don't agree with his position on this one. Let me explain. First, I've never been fully convinced that Obama's hiding his birth certificate because he's afraid it will prove he's not a natural-born citizen. It does, however, seem like a plausible explanation for the fact that he has spent something like, well, let's see, it's upwards of $1.7 million now that Obama has spent to keep his birth certificate from public view. And by the way, this document I'm holding in my hand, Obama's campaign fund was called, quote, Obama for America, end quote, during his campaign for presidency. And legally, Obama has to provide a report of how these funds are spent, and he must report to the Federal Elections Commission, right? Well, in January, Obama's political campaign merged with the DNC, Democratic National Committee. This is known by the name Organizing for America, you know, hailing back to Obama's community organizing days, no doubt. Well, anyway, what I wanted to bring to your attention is that I'm getting this information about how much he spent on hiding his birth certificate from us from Federal Election Commission records. And these records for Obama for America show that a certain international law firm, identified as Perkins Coie, has received really $2.6 million in total. By the way, as compares to McCain's $1.6 million spent in legal services during the election. And it reveals that of the $2.6 million that Obama has spent on legal services, $1,666,397.01 has been spent addressing the various eligibility lawsuits that have been filed petitioning the courts to compel Obama to show us his birth certificate. All right? Anyway, I heard Beck's birther bashing, and when you get right down to it, he and O'Reilly, by the way, well, they think it's a waste of time and energy. They just don't see it going anywhere, and they think it's dumb because if there was anything to it, surely the Clintons would have been all over it during the primaries. That, together with the fact that Obama's birth announcements appeared in two Hawaii papers back in 1961. So, okay, since I have been following this birth certificate issue, and because many of my listeners also listen to Mr. Glenn Beck, well, I think I should reapprise my listeners of my interest, my continued interest in this issue. Now, I can recommend you to a website, just http://, you know the drill, web.israelinsider.com. And you can go there and find a publication titled Obama Campaign Claims Suspect Birth Certificate as Genuine Item. And there are 9 articles posted on that website following this issue closely and I think thoroughly and fairly, by the way. And when you read through it, you will follow the history of this story from its beginning to where it is today. And as I've said, I never completely bought into the theory that Obama was not born in Hawaii, although I do believe it is a likely explanation for his extraordinary effort to hide his birth certificate from us. Now, the question I have raised and continue to raise is, why won't you show us your birth certificate, Mr. Obama? I mean, it's real simple. But let's look at the facts first. And, of course, the big fact that just won't go away is that Obama has not produced a copy of his birth certificate. The much-publicized certificate of live birth is not an authoritative Hawaiian birth certificate. The birth certificate identifies the hospital and attending physician, as well as other information not included in a certificate of live birth. In Hawaii, all that is required to obtain one of these certifications of live birth is for a legal parent or guardian to declare they've been resident in Hawaii for 1 year and that they want a certification of live birth for their child, which is something that can be used with some limitations in lieu of a birth certificate for identification purposes. When Hawaii issues a certification of live birth, this information is forwarded to the newspapers who publish birth announcements. And this is done automatically. The parents do not ask that these birth announcements be published. So these certifications of live birth are not sufficient to prove nationality. The fact is, cases have already come up where an individual who was not born in Hawaii was able to secure one of these certifications. As for Beck's argument that it is ludicrous to suppose his parents were anticipating his run for presidency and so conspired to acquire American citizenship for their son, Glenn Beck is being very uncharacteristically superficial in his analysis. There are hundreds of reasons parents might want American citizenship for their children, that have nothing at all to do with a Manchurian candidate conspiracy. I mean, give me a break. We know his mother was an American citizen, that his father was not, and that there were serious problems in that relationship. And indeed, if he had the child in Kenya, it is totally understandable that she might want her child to have American citizenship. The advantages to her and to her child are considerable. Nevertheless, none of this proves he was born in Kenya. I mean, the fact that the Kenyans believed that he was is not proof. The fact that his grandmother once said that he was born in Kenya is not sufficient proof that he was. And the fact that the Kenyans in his alleged birth town had a blowout party upon his election to the presidency as one of their own, that's not proof he was born there. I mean, none of these things prove he was born in Kenya. Hey, I know that. I'm that smart, at least. The fact that Obama has spent over $1 million fighting efforts to compel him to show us his authentic birth certificate, the one that includes the name of the hospital where he was born, and the doctor attending his birth and so on. Hey, that's not proof, man. That does not prove anything. Yeah, I know, I get it. Now, more recently, this comes up. This will blow your mind. You ready for this? There's this news commentator at the Canada Free Press who says he has obtained copies of two documents that raise questions, serious questions, about whether Pelosi is actually involved in a conspiracy to cover up Obama's eligibility issues. This is so weird. I've got the copies in front of me. J.B. Williams describes himself as a no-nonsense commentator on American politics. He says he has in his possession two versions of a document used to officially verify a party's nomination of a candidate. You see, there is this form that is used called the Official Certification of Nomination. It serves to swear before a notary public that the named individuals on the form are officially nominated to run for the office of president and vice president, thereby authorizing the state to include those names on their ballots. We see both of these are signed by Nancy Pelosi and Alice Travis Grimond. One of them is stamped, it appears, as an official document, or at least it's got the stamp that it was received by the other states. But the one that was sent to Hawaii doesn't have that stamp on it. I thought that was interesting. But there's something even more curious. The wording on the one sent to Hawaii is different from the wording of the one that, according to these records, was sent to all the other states. Why have two separate certification notices? I mean, unless the different states have different requirements? Oh, as a matter of fact, Hawaii, interestingly enough, does have a specific requirement that is unique to that state, and that requirement is that the certification of nomination must include a statement that the candidate is qualified under the Constitution to hold the office. The other states do not specify that, although I think it would be like, assumed, and that's the problem. However, Hawaii, very interestingly, calls for this to be specifically addressed in the certification. I did a little research, and I have in my hands a copy of Hawaii's law. You can see it on Hawaii's government website. Go to www.capital.hawaii.gov and find the document for this law identified as HR 11-113, Presidential Ballots, and here's how it reads. I'm not reading the entire law, but that which pertains to our interest, quote, in the case of candidates of political parties which have been qualified to place candidates on the primary and general election ballots, the appropriate official of those parties shall file a sworn application with the chief election officer not later than 4:30 p.m. on the 60th day prior to the general election, which shall include A, the name and address of each of the two candidates, B, a statement that each candidate is legally qualified to serve under the provisions of the United States Constitution. C, a statement that the candidates are duly chosen candidates of both the state and the national party, giving the time, place, and manner of the selection, end quote. Get that? Now, here's what is interesting. The one received by Williams from Hawaii includes the statement that both candidates are qualified according to the Constitution, but without a stamp indicating when it was received. However, the one filed in the other states does not include that language. Hello? So the obvious question is, why delete that language from the one you sent to all the other states? The obvious question is, you know, why not go ahead and use the same form for all states when that's the only thing that's different about them? When Pelosi, who signed both documents, is asked about it, well, according to what I'm reading here, she has nothing to say, except that, according to her office, they are aware that two different documents exist. For heaven's sake, man, I mean, good night. Not even Michelle is saying the same thing about Obama's birth, as Obama says. I mean, this is crazy. Oh, mercy. Quote, in little notice remarks, Michelle Obama stated at a public event that her husband's mother, Ann Dunham, was, she said, quote, very young and very single, end quote, when she gave birth to the future U.S. president, end quote. Oh, Barack told us that Dunham was married to his father, Barack Obama Sr., at the time of his birth. I mean, this guy can't even get his birth narrative straight with his own wife. All right, let's review and then conclude the show today. I get it. Michelle, Obama's own wife, does not have his birth story straight, and that doesn't prove anything. And the fact that his grandmother once said she remembers him being born in Kenya doesn't prove anything. And that Kenya threw a huge party rejoicing that one of their own got the presidency and believes that he was born there, that doesn't prove anything. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi considered it necessary to have two separate nomination certificates created, one special one for Hawaii that states Obama is qualified under the U.S. Constitution to hold the office for president, well, the one they use in all the other states apparently omits this clause, and you know, like there is no reason she will give or anyone else will give for why in the world they would do such a thing. I mean, why not just, you know, use the one that includes the statement for all the states unless it was an afterthought, you know, and oops, Hawaii wants that clause, so make another one for Hawaii. And if that's the case, why not just say so? But the problem is these are both created on the same day, and well, you know, none of this proves anything, right? Glenn, it makes sense that you would say questioning his eligibility is the dumbest thing you've ever heard. I mean, you know, someone looking at all of this, you know, might be, if they were kind of dumb and stupid and a little shallow-minded, they might offer the question, hey, Obama, why don't you just show us the birth certificate? He's claimed that he has it, but you know how it is. I've lit the lights of the Belfry Arch that signal the enemies on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with me. And if you disagree, it's easy enough to register your thumbs down vote. Just call in and say lights off. You can reach me by email. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Click the contact us button. Write a message to me. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Love it or you hate it. Either way, the Brain Masseur is going to make you think. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. if you dare.
You're in a church like walking on a treadmill. You keep going and going and getting nowhere. Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.